is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Oh, I was. This is my goodness. This is so unexpected.
Caught off guard here.
I can't believe it. I
can't believe we're doing this.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
I'm Al Sorts.
So unexpected.
Yeah, it's so really unexpected. My name's Panda, and I like Hallmark Christmas movies.
Guys, I got to tell you, it really is just like
jarring. It's
jarring.
Yeah.
Just I feel like I just out of left field.
It's so unexpected.
It's unbelievable how unexpected it is. I'm Dan, and I despise Hallmark Christmas movies, and this is the
Deck the Hallmark Podcast.
What up, everybody?
Yes,
another day.
Oh, wow.
Another day, another twofer here on the busiest week of Deck the Hallmark history.
That's right.
Movie number 3 of 10.
We are here and we are talking in our own free will. There is no one holding us hostage about Unexpected Christmas.
That's true.
We can say whatever we want without fear of repercussions.
It's just nice because yesterday, I wish I could say that, but some people saw behind, you know, the curtain. There were some people that were, we can't get into it.
But today, everyone's very low key about this movie. Yep. If we say we don't like it, it's totally
okay. It'll be great.
It's fine.
I think everyone's pretty chill about this.
Yeah,
that's right. Everyone's been very chill about this. Yeah. No hype, no hubbub.
No hype at all. Mm-mm. We got an email.
Yeah.
I try to stay away from all the hype. Literally, the double deckers have a chat during the movie. I don't read it until after I watch the movie and I give my take on the movie. Tried to stay away from it. People were emailing us about Tyler Hines's An Unexpected Christmas.
People were messaging us.
They just know we're all going to like it. So as someone who's like maybe, you know, under a dozen of these out of 400, you know, I feel like I can have an opinion here.
I'm excited for you to have an opinion here.
Oh, I'm going to have one.
Man, you know what I'm also excited about? Living in God's country.
Amen. You mean, that Greenville?
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah,
that Greenville is a Hallmark Christmas town.
Yeah.
So the fact that we get to live here is such a joy. Walking down Main Street, seeing the people smile with the lights on and the skating and the everything. The Christmas tree by M. Judson.
My feels for this movie are basically, that Greenville, because the movie is about someone who's trying to pitch this small town.
Yeah.
And that Greenville, the slogan, that Greenville, changed the perception of our town.
Yeah.
It was that good of a slogan,
yeah,
unlike whatever this was. But that Greenville's great, and it sets us apart from all the other Greenvilles out there that I'm sure are wonderful. But you need to come and visit that Greenville. It's one of a kind.
That's exactly right. And speaking of Greenville, and speaking of M. Judson's, where the Christmas tree is, we're going to be at M. Judson's tomorrow, Wednesday, for Christmas and cocktails and conversations.
Man. Yep.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You get a copy of the book, you get a free cocktail, and you get to hang out with us. I have literally no idea what the night's going to hold, but
I'd be anything.
Sure, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Could be a ton
of fun. And don't forget Universal Yums, official snack of the holiday season. Guys, when you think of official things, what's the first official thing you think of?
Hockey puck.
Okay.
The downtown.
Interesting. Universal Yums for me.
Really?
Yeah, they're the official.
The official snack. Official snack.
Of they season are. Four.
The best snacks all under one box.
That's a good slogan. The best snacks all under one box.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
No one else snacks the Yums.
Oh, that's good too.
Oh, yeah. These are all taking Pizza Huts right now. It's all I'm doing.
That's right.
Better snacks, better pizza. No. Dang it.
Speaking of slogans, I was driving the other day and I saw a billboard for Red Robin. And I'm fairly certain that the billboard was just a screenshot of the header of their website because it said Red Robin Yum. And then it had this little box and with like a little magnifying glass and it just says find us. Like on a website where you'd click it and you put in your your zip code. This just said Red Robin Yum, find us. No information. I know what Red Robin is. I'm not a monster. I know exactly what Red Robin is.
Yeah.
Find us. Guys, you ready to dive into this one?
I would love to, Bran. But I did get word from Tracy and there's nothing that I can do about this. I don't know why she sent it to me and not you.
Okay.
Tracy, do you know why you sent this email to me?
I have a couple of reasons and we'll get into them after you read them.
Tracy is very proud of a new program that she has been on. And she is too embarrassed to bring it up herself and thought if I did it, it would be more natural. That's what the email said. And it's called Trace Talks Take.
Calls what cut?
Trace Talks Steak.
Yes.
Is what it's called.
I thought you said tech, but no, everyone knows that.
No. We've had plenty of those. Trace Talks Steak is what it's called. And from what I understand, she goes on, and I tried to listen to one episode.
Right.
But it was, and I could be wrong on this because I stopped 30 minutes in. It's like 150 minutes long. And it's just Trace talking about steak.
Yeah. Yes.
And she wanted to play a clip of that on what probably will be our most watched episode. Yes. A listened episode for sure. I think this is this would be the time.
Yes.
Since people tend to love it in the reviews. They love Tracy. They love the steak talk. Trace emailed me and yes. said, can you get this out yes. into the ether? And I said, I'll do what I can, Trace.
I'm
Trace,
just embarrassed.
You're so embarrassed. That's why you emailed me and asked me to bring it up. Trace Talks Steak. Trace, do you have a clip you want to cue up?
I do.
Okay, go ahead, Trace.
Welcome back to Trace Talks Steak. I'm Tracy, your host, talking about steak with my co-host, Dalton. Dalton, how are you, hon?
Oh, I'm good.
Today, we're talking about the ribeye.
Oh, it's a fatty cut.
It's a fatty cut, lots of seasoning. And my big question is, where's that eye at?
Every time you say that, it leaves me in
sweet. Where's that eye at?
You are rare.
Where's that? Oh,
you're rare.
You might say that, but I'm saying you're medium. let's take a call. Let's take a call. Who's that? Hello?
Do you have a name?
Yeah, my name's Robert.
Hey, Robert. How you doing? Welcome to Trace Talk Steak. Okay, you got any steak-related questions, huh?
Yeah, I have one. The New York Strip. Is it from New York?
It's about ribeye today.
It's ribeye. Where's the eye?
Sir?
Where's your head at? Get out of here.
You are well done.
We got one more caller. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Is this Robert again?
No, this is his brother, Kenny.
Kenny?
Hey, Kenny, what's your question?
Well, unlike my doofus brother, Robert, I got a question about ribeye.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, little question. Where's that eye at?
You said it!
Wow. Well, that was for all you you reviewers of the podcast out there. Please, if you like that, please 5-star. Tell us about it. That would be wonderful. That would help us out a bunch. Helps people find the pod.
Where's the eye at? That is funny.
That's funny.
Yeah. I've never thought about that. You guys ready to talk about unexpected Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
calm down, Dad. Unexpected Christmas originally aired on November 26th at that 8 p.m. slot, and it went a little something like this.
Meet Emily, who is she's got the big Christmas plans of going to Hawaii on vacation. And she's not going to be able to do that anymore, boys, because she gets called for a big opportunity to get a cushy office. And you always want those cushy offices, you know what I mean? She's going to be sent to a city called Fulton, Illinois, to basically restructure their marketing for their tourism of Fulton, Illinois.
That's right.
And so it also just so happened to be the hometown of her ex boyfriend. His name is Jamie. Now Jamie is heading home for the holiday season. He's gonna write a speech for the governor.
That's right.
Of Illinois, because apparently she's running for re-election, I believe, and he's working on that campaign. And so he's going home. His task is to write this speech. And when he gets to Fulton, he hops off the train, he walks out, his family is there to greet him, and who is also walking through the lobby of the Fulton train station? Emily.
Guessed it.
And here's the thing. They've broken up. They've been broken up for a little while now, but the family doesn't know that. And so they think that Emily must be there for Christmas. And so they're all excited. Oh, we didn't know you were coming. Let me take your bags. And she's all like, what's going on? And Jamie's like, I can't believe that this is happening. And so she just kind of rolls with it. And they end up going to the house, and he's having a hard time coming clean. She doesn't feel like she can come clean. And so they're just kind of watching the family just be so, so excited about Emily visiting. So finally they have a conversation, and she's like, I'm starting to understand that you did not tell your family that we broke up. And he's like, there's been the whole thing. Grandpa passed away. I didn't want to share more bad news. I figured I would just tell them after the holiday season. Didn't think you were going to be here, this whole thing. And so she's like,
I just take me to a hotel and I'll stay there. I'm not going to say. Well, apparently the hotel was under the other person's name that was originally going to be doing this this little campaign thing. And so she can't stay there. She's going to have to wait another night, I guess. So they go back to the house and Jamie takes some sleeping pills because he's having a hard time sleeping on the bad mattress. And that leaves Emily the next morning having to handle questions from the family about things that she doesn't know about, such as trips that Jamie made up about her. This whole thing is an absolute mess. Jamie then asks Emily he has this idea because Emily originally was going to have a gold Olympic medalist come to give to do the video about the town. And this medalist backed out of this. And he says, hey, I can get you the governor of Illinois, but I'm going to need you to stay here this week so that I don't have to tell my family the truth. And she's like, well, the governor would be good, so I guess we're going to do this thing. And that, unfolds into a bunch of fun Christmas activities, such as a weird festival that includes on stage caroling. I don't know, but they're doing things. Jamie's parents, dad dangles some mistletoe above them, and they end up kissing. And I don't think they hated it. Emily is then trying to focus on this campaign. And so she's going to go around the town to try to get some ideas about a new slogan for the town that will fit the town and get people excited about Fulton. Jamie, though, knows the town and says, hey, let me show you all the things. So they're hanging out and they're doing all this fun stuff together. And it ends with a nice day by the nice night by the fire and talking. And then they go and they buy this fountain and they have this incredible realization of a perfect slogan for Fulton. They are just perfect together. Jamie's sister, though, starts to realize that there might be something going on here. And so she tries to get all that information out of Jamie, and he finally fesses up to her, which she then later uses for blackmail to get him to perform in a Christmas a show thing where it's going to be great. So he finally convinces the governor to come to Fulton. Everything is coming together well. They're going out. They're doing Christmas shopping together. They're having a lot of fun. It is time for the big show. And he overhears Emily talking about taking a job at the Cayman Islands. This bumps him out, throws him off. He's still got to go on stage and perform, and he's got to perform as a unicorn.
Yeah.
In this play where the unicorn comes out and everything goes wrong. Snow shoots at him. The rainbow thing falls down. It's a whole mess. And after the show, he kind of says, hey, I know your career's taking off. You're going to the Cayman Islands. I don't know why we're doing this whole thing, acting like things are going to work out between us, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm still in love with you. Being back with you, it's just so tough. And you're going to break my heart again, this whole thing. I'm going to leave. Can you just tell your family the truth so I don't have to disappoint them? And she goes around the curtain. And who's standing there? The family, overhearing the entire thing. That's one tough night. The next day, he comes out, and the family's kind of like, hey, that was really something, huh? And he gets a little pep talk from his dad about how he knew that his wife was the one that won for him. It was when they're apart, felt like something was missing. And he realizes, this was me. This is how I felt. And so he goes in and he says, guys, we got to do something. We got to go tell Emily. I got to get Emily back, basically. So they go to show up where the governor is going to give the speech. And the governor's not there. Apparently, the governor couldn't come because there was a situation with a family member. And so he feels even worse about that because that fell through. And so he runs to the train station and finds Emily. And Emily's watching TV, and the governor's giving this amazing speech that Jamie actually ended up writing. And
crushes it and basically shares his heart about her kind of, but in the speech, it's great. And so he runs in and he tells Emily that how he feels and that he doesn't want her to leave and that he wants to be with her because when he's not with her, feels like something is missing. And she's like, I'm so happy they found me. I'm not going to the Cayman Islands. I want to put down roots. And they end up kissing real big ones.
Real big
family
ones.
Comes in and they give big hugs. And that, my friends, was an unexpected Christmas.
We did it.
We did do it.
Man, that synopsis was chock full.
There's a lot in this movie.
A lot going on in this movie.
Yes. Guys, let's take a quick break.
All right. And it's hot take time.
It's hot take time.
Everybody buckle up.
We'll see what happens. We'll be right back here on Deck the Hallmark. Guys, what's something that I love more than life itself?
Towels.
Drinking. What did you say?
Drinking?
Towels.
Okay, drinking was the right answer.
Man.
I love
you love a good towel.
I love a good towel. That is true. A good towel is hard to find.
It's hard to find.
I do want to say, before we dive into the Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, if someone could send me a good towel, like, that would change my life. I feel like every towel I get leaves me wanting. Do you guys feel that way?
Yeah,
I've had a couple that have been delightful.
Yeah, I've had a couple too.
Whenever you get that right towel, it's like you'll never get it again.
I usually get them like in hotels.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you get a good hotel towel.
It's like a baby angel just swaddling you.
A baby angel.
Like, you know, like a little cherub.
How's that swaddling you?
Well, just because angels.
Are we opening it? Wow, how's that work?
It's just nice.
You want to start over on this ad, or what are we doing?
Guys, what's something that I love more than life itself?
Towels.
Drinks is the right answer. I love a good Christmas cocktail. There's nothing better than sitting down at the end of a long night and getting a nice Christmas cocktail. And nothing has made that easier than Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. They add that perfect Christmas flair to every single drink that I make. You guys know the cocktails I like. I like them to be sweet. I like them to be fun. And Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey makes that happen. Throw in some peppermint in there. Throw in some Bailey's, all sorts of fun stuff. You can have yourself a good night, or you can just take a quick little shot boy of that boy, and you'll be having yourself a real good night. That's all I'm going to say about that. Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey is fantastic. You can find it wherever you find your liquor, because it's quicker. And don't forget to always drink responsibly and send me a good towel. And don't forget, the entire holiday season is brought to you by Philo. Philo is giving our listeners 25% off the entire holiday season to watch all the holiday movies that are airing on Hallmark, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, GAC, Lifetime, etc. All you gotta do is go to philo.tv/dh. philo.tv/dth.
Here's what you do. You skip the podcast and you just listen to the ads. If there's an ad where Brand has to vamp and doesn't have a script, it is pure gold. Pure gold. Liquor, because it's quicker. At one point, you sounded like you were like at a rodeo. You're like, you take a shot, you have a good old day. You know what I'm talking about. We had a type 5 on towels in there. Oh, that was good. Why even play the sound? Just make that as part of the podcast. Holy cow. Man, that was great.
Guys, let's talk about this movie, An Unexpected Christmas. Tyler Hines, Bethany Joy Linz.
Here we go.
A quick Andrew Walker sprinkled in there for flair. Let's start with the hot take. Let's share exactly how you felt about this movie. Panda, give it to us hot. Give us to us take. Take us to the hot place.
Take
for goodness
me to hotter takes.
I love this movie. It's number one for me. And it's number one for me for a variety of reasons. First of all, the Tyler and Bethany Joy Linz are phenomenal together. They're absolutely wonderful. They have incredible chemistry. The script is really strong. The dialogue is quick and witty. Bethany Joy Linz is incredible in this movie. She's absolutely top-notch in this. The parents are wonderful. The list of B characters in this movie bring it together. It's funny. I laughed out loud multiple times. It is a joy to watch this movie. I am looking forward to rewatching this movie as soon as possible. I absolutely love this. This is not only one of my favorite, this is my favorite Hallmark movie this year, and it may be one of my favorites of all time. It might be number one. I in the past, I've gone to Five Star Christmas and Christmas at the Palace, but I think this movie might be my new number one, and is delightful. It's wonderful. It is hilarious. I love that they gave them more freedom to do just crazy things like the Sparkle Pony. That's ridiculous. Yeah. It is so ridiculous. And they pull it off. It works. I just, to me, everything about this movie landed. Guys, this is my opinion from a Hallmark perspective, a flawless movie from beginning to end. Flawless, in my opinion. So that's where I'm at. Love it.
My man said flawless.
Flawless.
I didn't like this movie.
I loved this movie.
I didn't love this movie. I would give my life for this movie.
Man, between your drinking problem.
I am wacky Nunu over this movie. It's the best Christmas movie from Hallmark. Maybe the best made-for-TV movie in general that I've ever seen. It's an absolute delight.
This is the best Hallmark Christmas movie you've ever seen?
It's the best. Why,
unequivocally.
There's no question in my mind.
Wow.
Yes, the performances are fantastic. Bethany Joy Lenz crushes it in this movie. Tyler brings it to another level that we've already known that we already knew Tyler was plenty capable of crushing it, and he took it to another level. But man, Paul Campbell. Buddy, you wrote one heck of a movie. It was fantastic. The one-liners, the jokes, all of it slammed. Don't you want to jam? It was great. I just absolutely adored this movie. I wish that this movie was something that I could hold in my arms and give a hug to, but I can't do that. That I know of. Someone could let me know and then also send me a good towel. That'd be great. I absolutely love this movie. Fantastic from beginning to end. I guess we could end this podcast now.
What?
And never do another episode. Cause you know, like we found it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I imagine when people came upon the Grand Canyon for the first time and they looked out and they said, wow,
just calm down.
That's how I feel about this movie. No, I won't. I won't.
Give your life for this movie.
Yeah.
All right. Because
I've been born again. Amen.
I said when we did one of our 18 preview episodes, before then, when Tyler
did one preview episode.
Tyler told us about this movie and told us it was him and Bethany Joy Lenz and told us that Paul Campbell was writing it. And we had to keep that under our hats for a while. And we couldn't tell anybody. And at that point, I said, okay, this movie has kind of created the scaffolding to be something special. Having said that, Brand's right on almost everything he said. It is the best one of these I've ever seen. It's not particularly close.
Better than the Lifetime ones you've seen?
Love at the Christmas Table and Snowed in Christmas both probably mean a little bit more, but from a standpoint of a movie that looks like a real movie, mm-hmm. like this is the closest thing I've watched on Lifetime or Hallmark of something that I would go to the theater to see.
Yeah.
Okay. So purely on the eye test of could this pass for an actual real movie? It's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's pretty close. And I'll tell you why it's pretty close. Yes, everything you've mentioned, but I said it while we were watching it. Equivocally, no one does this as good as Bethany Joy Lenz does it, period. She does not have a male equal on Hallmark, and I know that's not going to make a lot of people happy. She doesn't. She just flat crushes it. Tyler and Chris, Palaha, probably for my money, do this better than anybody else, and Tyler's playing a part that he's never played before. There is zero smolder from mm-hmm. Tyler Hines in this movie, and he destroys. Comedic timing, amazing. Paul Campbell, you're a joy to watch on screen. You're better as a screenwriter. Like, just unbelievable as a screenwriter. All the B characters are wonderful. But it's funny. Like, and here's the thing. I think this is the thing that really makes this movie stand out to me is it doesn't have a gimmick plot to it. The convenience of them meeting at the train station is eye roll, and it's not good. But it doesn't have this, like, thing that makes that, like, Five Star Christmas is good because it's an out of the box concept that we all have to act like we're running this hotel when we're not. This movie is a standard boilerplate Hallmark movie. Underneath the surface, the bones of this movie are the thing you've been watching for over a decade.
Yep.
And that tells you that it can be done well. It can be done exceedingly well because they do it well in this movie. Now, do they have the best of the best working across the board? Yes, they do. Do they have the funniest dialogue for the best actors? Yes, they do. But I laughed a lot in this movie. The two leads have incredible chemistry,
yep.
like movie theater level chemistry. It's funny. If you love these movies, I can't imagine this not being your favorite one of these because it's done right. It's a thumbs up from Dan. 100% thumbs up. Completely earned. 100%.
Yep. Wonderful.
The great thing also about this movie is I feel like it's a lot of fun. Like a lot of the movies that we've really liked this season have been kind of a little bit more on the down end.
Well, this is how they get you. Like Mrs. Miracle, not a movie that like has a lot of laughs in it.
Yeah.
But they handle a serious issue well, so you give them props for that. You know, One December Night has two like legend performances in it. You know, the time travel one has Christopher Lloyd in it. Those all have a gimmick to them or something about them that makes them stand out. This does not. On paper, this movie is a movie that would have been made 10 years ago.
I also appreciate
that's what's amazing about it.
I appreciated that this is a fake relationship trope in a way that we've never seen before. Where
because it's real,
it's a real relationship.
Yeah, it's a real relationship.
Yep. Like it's such a unique way to do my personal favorite trope, which is the fake relationship.
Yep.
Yes, so
exactly,
can I tell you my biggest complaint about this movie right now?
Tell me,
and it's this: it's unfortunate that they stuck it with a relatively generic name for this movie, Unexpected Christmas.
For me, I just like the fact that this movie. Does like
it's so unassuming.
All it is hey, these are the movies you've been watching. We've made 1,000 of these here at Hallmark. This one's actually good. There isn't any other but
unexpected.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
It is if you've watched as many as we have, it's just unexpected. It's unexpected that this could be this good.
Yeah.
But you got it's like a dream team lineup.
This will be a movie that we reference years to come, guys.
Of course.
I mean that.
Look, last year he wrote Christmas by Starlight, which I think is miles better than the Santa Stakeout. He and Sustad are great in Christmas by Starlight. Has some issues. Miles better movie than Santa Stakeout, which I disagree with you guys on. That's fair. I said then, and I said later on, they're going to mess around. If they keep letting him write movies, they're going to mess around and they're going to actually make a good movie. And what happened is they made a good Christmas movie. They made a good Christmas movie. Tyler is unreal. Bethany Joy Lenz is unreal. They did it. I can't believe
guys, get your phones on.
Get your phones on. Tyler, I can't believe you jumped on. I didn't know you were doing this.
I didn't know either. I'm supposed to be at a meeting right now, but now I'm making my dogs go for a pee and I'm talking to you guys. Come,
I love it. Listen, come. You got more than just Rusty there? You got more dogs with you?
I'm at my buddy's place right now in between meetings, so I'm letting his dogs out, and then I'm about to run. I'm supposed to be somewhere, probably important, but I'm not doing that. I'm here with you, babies.
I love it. Well, Tyler, I will say this. I said it right before you came on. You made a really good movie here, dude. Like, really good stuff. Yeah. Like, I said, if I rate these on the quality of what is this close to something I would see in a theater – this was the highest I've ever seen, ever. I've never seen you pull off the comedic timing. I've never seen you really try it, but the comedic timing that you have in this movie, fantastic. Bethany Joy Lenz off the charts, great as always. Paul Campbell crushed it on the script. You guys just crushed it, man.
Oh, I'm so glad you feel that way, Dan. That's so lovely to hear. I mean, I would have enjoyed probably a roasting just as equally, but I appreciate you enjoyed it.
You can go listen to the Winter in Veil episode whenever you want. I mean,
that's a good idea. On demand.
Well, I said that this is how I imagined me watching this movie was how I imagined people seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time.
Good Lord.
Good gosh.
I need to bring you to meetings is what I need to do from now on. Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about Tyler Hines, everybody, before he walks
exactly.
in.
Tyler, I knew the movie was going to be special when I heard you underselling it on the podcast, not only with Bran weeks ago, but also last week with us. When I heard you underselling it hard, I was like, oh, he's got a good one here. He's got a good movie. He doesn't feel like he has to talk big on it. It's just good, and he knows it's good.
Do I oversell other movies?
I mean, look, I'm not saying you oversell other movies necessarily, but yeah. I'm just saying if we played side by side some of your other ones versus this one, I feel like the fact that you were willing to let the work speak for itself here, I think says a lot. Like, because I just think it really is that good. I think you nailed it. And I also think the part doesn't work as well if you've got the beard.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I think that the lack of beard helped there. I think it gave you more of like a boyish, hasn't grown up, down on his luck, can't get a good job quality. Whereas if you have the beard, you know, you have a little bit more smolder with the beard, Tyler.
Oh, interesting. More smolder. Okay. Yeah.
That's right.
I think the decision, let me get these dogs inside. I'm going to answer this. This is very complimentary and I enjoy all of it. Come here. Lizzie, come. They're attacking another dog and it's getting mayhem.
Lizzie, come on.
Lizzie, come.
You better.
This is classic Lizzie.
There we go.
This is classic
Lizzie, bro. Come on.
Yeah.
yes. No, I appreciate that. I think Aisha, our executive, would love to hear you say that. at our meeting, she had mentioned very kindly that she thought that might be something that she would appreciate, having a shaved face. And I told her then I'll respectfully try to entertain that idea. And when I read the script, I thought it was time. I've been playing the long game on this. I think we've talked about this a bit, how in these movies, because making bold decisions, this may not be the forum for that sort of thing. I've created a bit of an arc over multiple movies, and I thought that this was a good time to sort of go back to that and create something that was different. So I'm glad you appreciated it.
I just think, Tyler, you've got a lot of smolder, but I think this role just called for it to be a guy who is a little bit more like down on his luck, or just, you know, almost hadn't grown up yet. And so having you look, and you look a lot younger without the beard, having you look younger and like you're just not as with it, I think it helped the overall arc of the character. Mm-hmm. I think that helped a ton. I know it sounds crazy, but I think it did.
Oh, good. No, it doesn't. I greatly appreciate that. This is not unintentional. So I'm really glad that communicated. I'm happy to see the response being pretty accurate to what I was trying to do. So I really appreciate that reaction, because that was the intent behind it.
Yeah. Well, the Heinies loved it. I know that much. Gosh, we loved it. Everybody loved it. I can't wait to see. I'm one of those nerds that really like to see ratings. And how things kind of shake out, because I was very high on this movie and I believed that this one was going to be the one of the season. And so I just want to see
one of the season isn't Lacey or CCB, that's huge. I will say this. If you've got Tyler and Bethany Joy Lenz in a movie together, I mean, come on. What else? Let me ask you this. I know you've got things to do, Tyler. We don't want to keep you too long, but I have a question.
Hold on. No. Let's settle up for the long haul. Let me switch you guys to my computer. I'll be 2 seconds and then we'll have a nice chat. I told everybody to just take a break and I'll get to them.
I mean, God bless them.
All right.
Give me one sec.
All right, okay. Sounds good. Right. Let's get to all the feels part of the show. We talk about what this movie gave us as feels. Panda, what are you feeling, pal?
Oh man. How about the, first of all, there's a lot here. Sparkle Pony was absolutely Sparkle Pony. But also he has this really heartfelt conversation with his dad outside the house, where he's looking up at the sleigh on top of the house, and his dad looks at him, he's like, I put this up every year for your mom because I love her. And I just love that. And then he goes, Dad, how did you know? He goes, because I never stopped, you know, thinking about her, loving her. I love that scene. That gave me the feels,
guys. I love the little things that happen in movies that give you feels that, like, you know, I love a good hand touch and stuff like that. Like the little things that make you realize they are both into each other. They're doing little things to just kind of feel each other out a little bit of here and there. And the fountain scene for me was just like the excitement that she had. She walked around. He helped her off into a spin, pull back, dance. That whole thing was so darn just fantastic. Like, it gave me so many feels. I was so happy watching that. Yeah. So many little things like that. Just like, hey, you know what? We're together. We're having this moment. I'm going to spin you out. We're just going to see what happens. Like, it just felt real good. And there was like a familiar, like it sold it that those two are familiar with each other.
Yes.
Like going back into their old ways. I loved it. It gave me so many feels. Yes.
I think any scene with his sister is a really good scene. Yeah. I think those two had great chemistry. Any scene with Bethany Joy Lenz is off the charts, but the hardest I've laughed in one of these movies, we're doing all the feels right now, Tyler, is the waiter at the bar comes up and Bethany Joy Lenz basically just spills this entire, like, it's a fake romance, not really, but I'm acting because of blah, blah, blah. And he waits and lets her finish the whole thing. And then he just says, we've all been there. And I got a, there's a legitimate cackle from me, which doesn't happen often in these movies. Mm-hmm. And I thought the timing that that guy had in this movie, I mean, Tyler and Joy are pros and everything they do is amazing, but this guy has so little time to make an impression. And he just, this one line, he just delivers with such aplomb, he crushes it. So that was my, I laughed really hard there. I thought that was really, really funny.
It's great.
I'm going to go to break and we'll come back here on Deck the Hallmark.
Oh my gosh, guys. It wouldn't be an episode that I'm excited about without Blind Chalet.
Dude.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? You think we're excited about this movie?
Oh.
How about 55% off your window coverings?
This movie can go kick rocks compared to Blind Chalet. I love Blind Chalet.
Oh, my God.
Blind Chalet. Guys, I don't think I am making myself clear here.
55%
off. 55% off your blinds.
That's right. People have been messaging us.
Unreal.
Well, saying, did you say 55?
Finally done. It's over half price.
Yeah. Five, guys.
55.
Blind Chalet. They're just everything that you could want. You're looking at your windows right now and you're like, man, my windows stink. Like, my windows look like garbage.
Custom window cover.
That's exactly right.
Unreal.
Blind Chalet makes it possible by giving you 55% off your first order. So I would suggest go hard. Go hard or go home.
That's right.
Because
by double what you would have, you'll pay the same.
By double?
Yep, he's right.
And even actually less, you still less.
That's right.
So double up and some.
That's right. Double up and some.
Double up and some.
That was going to be our promo code, but instead we went with what?
Hallmark55.
Hallmark55.
Blindchalet.com.
Blindchalet.com. Promo code Hallmark55.
That's exactly right. Get your window coverings today.
Today.
We're back.
I was in the shower when Brand texted me, to be perfectly honest, and I was it just came to me in the shower. I must make this happen.
Well, because the Heinies requested it. There was a whole thing in the Heinies Facebook group, which I'm a part of naturally, said Tyler needs to come on and talk about this movie with the boys now that they've seen it.
Which we've never done this.
Which we've never,
we've never had an actor on for their movie before. Ever.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
So we had to wait till we unequivocally loved it.
That's true.
To do it, to make sure no feelings were hurt. Right.
Have no feelings, so don't be shy. Go ahead.
And plus, we wanted to tell you about Blind Chalet.
Yeah,
so
we got
a lot of
55% off.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't, honestly. I was flabbergasted, to say the least.
Tyler, I know you talked to us about It Was Always You, and the first script you got for It Was Always You, you were like mind-blowing, amazing. And then they kind of had to Hallmark it up. Like, they had to make it Hallmark, and they had to kind of trim it and change it and mess with it. Same process here, first script, even more mind-blowing than this one, or is this more closer to the page that you got to begin with?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that I've been saying a bit sort of, or making it known throughout this process, is I really want Paul Campbell to get the respect that he very much deserves. So he did something which is incredibly hard, which is he wrote a very good script. And then not only did he write a very good script, he maintained his sort of artistic integrity and his artistic voice throughout the rewriting process, which, you know, we're rewriting these movies when we're making them at times, and he's making changes to them, you know, on the day that we're doing things. And so it can be a bit chaotic, and it's very, very easy to somewhat throw in the towel on how you're doing that. And so he really did not, and all the respect in the world to this gentleman. He is somebody who goes above and beyond, and really is, and I don't think it's that hard for him, you know. I think he's just very, very talented, and so I'm very excited to see what he does as a writer and as an actor. I think he's a talent that everybody should really take notice of.
And before you went to the chopper, I asked about the jokes on the page versus came out on the screen. How much of it was on the screen page versus kind of what was coming out while you were on set?
Again, like, you know, in most of these circumstances, I try not to divulge that kind of information, because I feel that it doesn't give the quite, because there's a process here, and part of that process is for us to be able to make things work on the day. And so, but never in any way do I ever want to detract from what the writers have done. It's already the most thankless job, as far as I'm concerned, in this industry, while being maybe the most important contribution on these movies. So I don't really reveal that kind of stuff, but I will say in this circumstance, Paul, again, deserves all the credit in the world. This is like, I was talking to him the night of the premiere. I went live for the first time that I ever have on my Instagram, which I'm sure was a debacle, just like the beginning of this was. We spoke a bit about that. We FaceTime afterwards for a good amount of time, just chatting. He packs his scripts with so much humor and thought that you have an abundance. You can throw things away, and that's something that he said he appreciated. Is that there are moments that he thought would be, you know, yuck it up moments, and they were tossed away, and they were more potent because of that. And I said that's strictly because you gave us an abundance of good things that we can now start to create the rhythm to a scene, or pick and choose where we want things to hit and allow other beautiful things to be more underplayed and an afterthought in its appreciation. And so that's all him. So again, all the respect to Mr. Paul Campbell, not to mention he's a giant and attractive as hell. So.
I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Win-win.
When did you know that you had something that was really special here? I mean, what was it like? Just reading the script, or when did you realize, man, this is something that, I mean, obviously I think you probably had some sense that this is maybe different than even other Hallmark movies that you've seen or worked on. This is something that's, in my opinion, really a special Hallmark Christmas movie. When did you have a sense that, man, you were on something that was, the next level of these in some sense?
Well, how do I say that? So Matt, our producer, this is his first Hallmark movie he was making. And he was sort of new to this process and how it shakes out. And something I expressed to him pretty early on is that I think you're going to be in good hands, strictly because Paul had written such a good script and Joy, I had heard such good things about. And I thought from the beginning that, okay, this is a really good starting place. So we're going to be all right as long as we don't, you know, muck it up too much. But all of these things are an evolution. Every movie is a chance to earn a bit more trust with the audience, a bit more trust with Hallmark. There's moments at the beginning of me doing these movies where I'm, you know, being told to smile more or the discomfort with the way I might approach things. So it's been an evolution, movie by movie, earning that trust and earning that place to be able to do what I already know how to do. And so for me, this was just another step in that. And we had a lucky group where Matt was a very good producer. Paul had written a good script. Joey's obviously very talented. And we were able to go do the thing. And I'd seen the movie sort of, what you make is one thing. What then gets edited and have a post-production process is another. And so you really don't know what you have until it's gone through that process. Mm-hmm. And so I was privy to that process and was able to help a little bit, which I think at some point, I understood that this was going to land about where I thought it would and got pretty close to sort of what we were intending it to be within certain margins. But it's always incredible to see people react to things in a nice way. And you never really assume that that's going to be there. But as far as my relationship to the material and what I envisioned it to sort of turn out to be, this is within the ballpark of sort of what I set out to do. And so that's rewarding in itself. And that's the only thing I can control. So sort of throughout, I kind of knew it would end up here. If someone answers your question, Panda, you're just morse a little.
I love it.
Thank you.
We want to go to the wait, what? Tyler, you can hang out
you want to talk us through some of these wait, what's that we have?
Yeah, please. Let's go.
Panda, what do you got, buddy?
I got nothing.
No wait what's in the whole movie.
I don't have a single wait what.
No.
I looked, man.
So hold on. So like my producer, Matt, he just texted me. He was talking about how IMDb, I think there's some people who are roasting it a bit on IMDb, and he wanted to see if I would invite people to go maybe change the tide on that. And I told him I don't do that. But there were some wait what's on there, and I was looking at them going, yeah, these are things that were considered, and these are things that, you know, it's like, again, like what kind of movie are you making? There's if you're in for this kind of a movie, then you're going to be okay with these things. And if you're not, then you're obviously going to point out some of the outpoints that belong here. But
well, one thing that
there are people roasting on the IMDb. Who are these people?
One thing I said, though, Tyler, is that what makes this movie special is that the bones of this movie are very much a Hallmark movie. So like it doesn't have a gimmick to it. There isn't some weird, like there's a movie that came out this Christmas with Peter Gallagher and Bruce Campbell, who are legends, like actors or legends. And they're these like, they play this kind of like Simon and Garfunkel. Like it's just a different movie. It's not really a love story at all. This movie doesn't have that gimmick. Like underneath the surface, it is a movie about a, you know, exes who are back in the small town and coincidentally, eye-rollingly almost meet and have to fake a relationship. All that's been done before. What makes the, what's so impressive is that they take that, what appears to be very worn out trope, and they turn it into something really special because of the writing and the performances and all everybody involved. I think that's what makes the movie special is the fact that it does have these eye roll tropes in it and it still succeeds. It's really easy to gimmick your way into a better movie, you know, like some of these, but this is a home, like this, we've watched 400 of these. This is what these movies are. You guys just happened to do it better. You just did it better because it felt like everyone involved was about a vision that was pertaining specifically to this movie, not about a vision of like all of these movies have to look a certain way. And I think that's what made the difference to me.
Oh, wow. That's good to hear. Yeah. I mean, that's a good exercise, isn't it? Because I think one of the things that I don't, you know, one of the things that's a value to Hallmark is that there's familiarity. Like this is one of its superpowers. It's not something to be ignored that come here to get something that they know they're going to get. And if you can give that to them in a way that still emotionally impacts them, whether it be with laughs or warmth or touches them emotionally in some way, this is really kind of a really good starting point. To get very good at that would be not changing the machine so much, but just improving upon it. And I think that's something that I've tried to do. And I don't really concern myself too much with the writing and the overall big concepts of these things, because I know a lot of people behind the scenes have opinions about that, so I stay out of that. I just try to execute the best movie that's given to me. And so I really appreciate that you feel that way, and that we did take a concept that was familiar to you, but somehow it didn't seem to be
absolutely
repetitious.
For sure. Great. Are you digging into IMDb over there?
Another 2021 movie about a strong woman and a weak man. Annoying.
I don't see what's wild is I think that there's, I don't think that Tyler's character is weak. I think he just didn't know how to like mature and grow up. Like, I think he was stuck in a state of arrested development as soon as he decides his girl's career is going somewhere and his isn't. And so he doesn't know how to process that information. Yeah. But I will say this, it's so weird to see the pushback on some of these issues, like strong leading women. How dare we? How dare we have a strong leading woman in a movie?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. And so you read some of them and you kind of go like, oh, okay, yeah, if you're going to see it that way, then you're sort of checkmated from the beginning.
That's right.
But this is the thing that I thought was an asset. You know, Paul had written this character that was this way. And I thought, again, like I've done in like 12 Dates of Christmas, where the guy is, you know, really mansplaining to this person and is not really taking a good position. What I'm trying to do is not shy away from that, to try to like, because then you end up with some sort of watered down nothing. It's like, let's see a guy who's not your admirable, you know, aspirational person that you wish you were to date, or you wish you knew, or you wish you were. Let's make him like a guy that you may have dated, and a guy that you may be, who's being ridiculous in its insecurities and making mistakes that are obvious to an audience. Because the fact is in life, we all make silly mistakes that are incredibly obvious to everybody else around us except for ourselves. And so there's truth in that. And so if you lean into that in the right way and you can kind of do it some service, and I think you just, again, have something that, you know, maybe as a conceit, somebody might disagree with, which you can't argue with that. There's no arguing with that. There's no winning with that. But hopefully it has some truth to it, and it tickles enough that the rest of the movie can do what it's supposed to do, which is puke Christmas at you and you know, like create an environment that feels warm and familiar, because this is why people are there.
On the flip side, there's other people that are upset that she left her job or turned down the job for the guy at the end. But I didn't see it as that.
She's done everything she wanted to do.
Because she had done, like, and they hadn't even had the define the relationship conversation yet. She turned down that Cayman job before that conversation.
Right. And she makes that very
clear,
too.
So I don't think that's a fair assessment, IMDb
Tyler,
person.
Let me ask you this, since we're doing the thing that your producer asked you to do and you didn't form. Let me ask you this. You spoke last week to us about Joy doing some things, like she just took her off her shoe And we saw that scene, and it's a great scene.
And I said, that scene right there is the reason the internet saw me with my shirt off.
That's right. That's true. Well, I mean, you had at least
The internet saw you with your shirt off because it was time. That's
time. It was
How did you get to a point last week where you picked up your phone and you saw me shirtless and you were like, okay, I've had enough of this? Because I did.
No. I thought to myself, I want more of this. This is really
this is the good stuff.
Is it the background of your phone now? It's just me.
Yeah.
So that scene is a great scene because she's just doing what, like, she's kind of like always disheveled and on the move, and she's got something in her shoe and she's just like, hold the shoe. And you're saying she just did that off the cuff. Was there a time in the movie where she did that or something like that happened and we weren't able to just roll with it? Like, that took you all, like, because it seemed like that was in the script for you to tell me that wasn't in the script. That's an impressive piece of acting by both of you to continue forward in that regard. Was that something that happened regularly?
The short answer is yes. This is that was just an example. That's a very sort of finite, clear example of that taking place. You know, there's a moment where she comes out and I'm at my computer and we then go on that excursion for the day. That scene we shot multiple different ways because there was a whole discussion about that for reasons that you guys aren't even aware of because it doesn't end up in the movie. There's a scene prior that was cut. Anyways, we didn't know exactly what we were doing with that scene and how it was going to land. And there was a whole conversation, shot it multiple ways. Her saying, like, are you procrastinating? This is something that she said. And then I responded to that. So there's a certain amount that when you get someone like Joy, who's that talented, and this is not speaking ill of anybody else. I've been very fortunate with the people I work with. So whenever you're working with somebody who's comfortable in their craft, they could do that. And for me, it brings the scene alive. Say another example could be made when we have the hot dogs. This scene curved and winded both because Joy and I were on our heels that day because we were getting things thrown at us that were not exactly planned out and comfortable. And so we were just both kind of like, all right, let's just get into this thing. And we go and she's listening, I'm listening, and we're able to sort of do our thing. And so the shoe thing, as soon as she did that, when we walked out, I saw her start to sort of carve a moment out. And I said, oh, great.
Yeah.
Let me just be a passenger here. Like, do whatever you want to do and let me just join you on that. Cause it's taking it out of its sort of stale, let me stand there and stare through your face and have some conversation about something that we're not invested in. So yeah, it's just a testament to her ability, you know?
Love it. You got to wait.
I have a wait what or two. One is the Christmas festival in general. It was a weird festival. I don't know. I think the weird part of this festival was they have the Santa Sachs crew, which I will get into later. And then just a free for all where any crew can just come up on and karaoke and sing. Is that is this how that works out at this festival?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you?
I stay away from karaoke, so I had no part in how that thing went.
What was the song? Was it Up on the Rooftop? What song was it?
Yeah,
I had never seen that song.
You didn't know the song.
Bless. No, and it was my job not to, so I went method on that. Yeah. And so Matt, bless his heart, was holding up cue cards for all of us off camera on a ladder. But yeah, I had never heard that song before in my life.
You did what all good people that don't know words to songs do, where you just say like the last word of a line, like the word. But it was unlike any Christmas festival I've never been to a festival where you have some entertainment, planned entertainment, followed up by unplanned entertainment. Unplanned. The best Christmas festivals are where you just do an open mic and you just say, guys, just do whatever you want to.
Yep.
This will be fun.
It'll be an open mic.
Welcome to the open mic.
I think I see a brand Christmas festival in your future.
Oh, boy. I hope so. Dan?
Yeah, I'm not sure who's worse at their job, the town of Fulton or the mayor or the governor of Illinois. The town of Fulton decides they're going to launch a multi-seasonal marketing campaign for their city starting on Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day.
Which is, by all means, the worst marketing day of the year. Mm-hmm. No one is looking at anything. They're all at home with their families, with TVs off, fires on, opening presents. It's a pick any other day.
Let me tell you about Christmas in Fulton. So that
next year.
Next year, you'll remember Christmas from this year because you heard the spot and you remember it for next year. That's just bad. That's a lot of money down the drain. And before you comment, Tyler, they were going to roll this out with the slogan, "If you can't beat her, join her." Which, even though you have Jackie Joyner Kersee, one of the worst slogans for a town I think I've ever heard. Just because there's a pun there doesn't make it a good town slogan.
I disagree. I think you go hard on puns whenever you can.
Well, if you can't beat her, join her. Can I ask you how the Joyner thing came to be? That seemed
like smoking a few Joyners?
They were in the back. Was there a favor somewhere? Like, what?
I think Matt, our illustrious producer, I think has a relationship with Jackie. He's done work with ESPN and these sorts of things. So I think that his contribution, his possibly a favor being called in. Yeah. And we are very much appreciated.
I just want to
be Peter Joyner.
I want to be in the boardroom where they're like, guys, if we could get gold medalist Jackie Joyner Kersee on board, then we could use the phrase, "If you can't beat her, join her." What are you talking about?
I want to imagine the world where no one was calling in a favor here. Now, this was just a slogan that someone pitched.
What if we call Jackie Joyner Kersee and see what happens?
And then we could say, "If you can't beat her, join her."
Good gosh, that's bad. But the governor, not to be outdone, the governor, a week before Christmas, her reelection campaign, which I assume is happening in November of the following year, she is in full swing right now.
Yeah.
A week before Christmas. Her election is over 11 months away, and she is just nose to the grindstone, making her employees work on Christmas Day to get her reelected 11 months early. I didn't get that one at all.
I will just say this. You can't beat her, join her. Let's say, Tyler, you don't strike me as somebody who would be caught dead in a political office, campaign office. Is that correct?
This is not where I would choose to spend my weekend.
Yeah, though. Sure. At one point, Tyler's character says, when it comes to finding the right words that really matter, I just freeze. Maybe don't be a speechwriter then. Don't be one of those. Just a little tip from me to you, Tyler. And then lastly, you guys all pile in the car, in the van to go to Grand Romantic Gesture. And Tyler, I swear, it's sunny out. The windows are clear. But when they film inside the van, all of those windows are frosted over. All of them on the sides. What was going on there?
Well, here, we'll take a handsome donation from you next time if you would like to purchase the exterior of that van. Until then, they're going to be white, okay?
You're telling me you weren't actually in that van, Tyler?
No, movie magic. Okay, I'm not in those meetings. I got my own problems to deal with. Those are decisions left to other people. But yeah.
All right.
I don't think it detracted from the movie, but yes, I do agree. I wish there was outdoors.
Or maybe you just green screen it. Yeah, it just was frosted over. Like you guys were in a bag of styrofoam. Like I don't know what happened there.
Here's the thing though. Like when I did Roadhouse Romance, we shot that whole sequence in the cars twice. Once was rear projection, once was green screen.
Wow.
This is how much of a headache this can be. And I don't even know which one ended up in the movie, to be quite honest. So little things like that.
So did all that in like 10 minutes. You just got in the styrofoam van and you just did the scene.
Literally.
Really?
Literally. Literally 10 minutes. And there were more scenes in there. And it was.
Wow.
It was,
you know what, man? Looked better than Roadhouse.
It looked way better than Roadhouse. It did.
Like it wasn't distracting. It wasn't distracting at all. It was great.
I just kept going, why are all the windows frozen over?
It was distracting to Dan.
Yeah, I was distracted.
All of us
were upset.
All of us were on board.
We understood we were watching a movie.
I do just want to say
Tyler has smiled more during. I think he likes the jokes. I think he likes when people joke on his movie.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Because again, like me reading, so like Matt pointing me to IMDb, I'm like, I'm reading these things and like it's almost liberating because these are all thoughts that I have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And inevitably, you know, with anything we do in life, it's like you have to make sacrifices and make concessions. And the hope is just to put the focus in the right place so that you have a good experience. You know what I mean? Like The more people watch these movies, the bigger budgets they can have. The more windows will have filled with outdoor activities.
I love it.
This is reality.
I love it.
So until then, we got white windows, and we got me and Grandma arguing. That's what we have.
Zoe Malix wants everyone to know that the characters are about as bland as wheat crackers. but it's better than most other Hallmark Christmas movies. So if you're bored, give it a watch. You never know what you might find.
Do you think that's going to go on the DVD cover?
Yeah. That sounds.
I hope so. I hope it goes on the poster. I hope it goes on my bio. I hope it goes everywhere. You know what happened when we were watching the movie? I go to Matt's place and there's a bunch of people watching. And one of the first things one of his daughters said to me, she goes, "Are you in the movie?" I said, "I think so." She goes, "No, you're not." I go, "Well, hold on. I think I am." And she's like, "You don't look like that guy." And I was like, "Okay." So I took off my hat and she's like, "Nah, I still don't look like him." And then she tells me eventually when she comes around to realizing I am in this movie that my acting is bad and I should practice more.
Oh my God.
Both of those sentiments, I appreciated and I took it to heart.
Wow. Man, that's stone cold tomorrow. For a producer's daughter.
Speaking of the people that were confused by your face, I want to give a shout out to Debbie. On the Facebook, Hallmark Movies and Christmas Movies Facebook group says, "Watching Unexpected Christmas. Tyler's face sure looks different. Surgery or what?"
Did you get face surgery, Tyler? Be honest. We're asking the hard-hitting questions here. Face surgery. Did you get it?
Can't you tell I look more gorgeous than ever?
Surgery or what?
Or what? That's going to be the YouTube tagline for this.
What would be the or what?
Yeah.
Or what is just shaved, I think.
Just shaved.
Surgery or shaved? I'm going surgery.
More shape. Let's get to what the Hallmark Spartan show, where we are still wondering some questions that we would like some answers to. Maybe Tyler, who has been living in this universe for a while now, can give the answers to these questions.
Yeah. Sure. So Bethany Joy Lenz wins.
Doesn't have anything.
No. I got stuff. Hey, listen, I got stuff. She was doing poorly in charades early on, but she becomes the champ.
She gets
the champion crown. I want to know more about that comeback because it did not seem like it was going particularly well. I know whenever I lose one round of charades, it's out. I'm not coming back.
Did she win or did she just take the crown from someone?
Look, I was eating a lot of peanuts in that scene. I was next to Grandma. A lot of people were yelling. Paul was laying on the ground doing this as a deer. There's a lot of things going on. The last thing I thought about on that day is what happened after the charades.
I do want to say that those parents are, I think, my favorite parents in the history of Hallmark.
Oh, they were
so fun.
That's so nice. I'm sure they would greatly appreciate that. Yeah, in the beginning when they showed up and they started doing their thing, I expressed to Paul and that if they weren't doing what they were doing, this whole thing would really not sort of work. And so I was very grateful for seeing them do what they did. Yeah, they were a good little duo, those two, weren't they?
Yeah, they were so good. Mine is the Santa Sacks crew, which I mentioned already. Yes. There is a crew of three Santas that I like to imagine travel around the world playing. Each of them have a saxophone.
Yes.
And they are each just saxing it up.
Yep.
Sweet, sweet sax, baby. So I just want to know about them. I don't want to live in a world where this is just a one time. Hey, let's all put Santa costume.
A global globe-trotting Santa sax crew.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, you
get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just want to know more about them and how their career is going, because I think it's going great.
Fair enough. Since I have him here, I'm going to ask. I want to know what building or structure was used for the train station.
Ooh, good question.
Because it looked like it may have been an office.
An old bank, maybe?
Someone got like a red ticket sticker and just put it on the outside of something.
There's a piano.
Yeah, there's a
a circle chair.
It couldn't look less like a train station, Tyler. What was it?
I would love for you guys to guess. You would never guess this. I'm trying to remember that. I think I remember what it was. Just take it. Throw a shot.
Is it a Tim Hortons?
Hey, that's your guess, Panda.
I don't even know. Inside of a church. Sure.
Okay. Church fellowship hall. I like that.
Church, good guess.
I'm gonna go with. Brandon. Oh, and also, I want you to bring up your point that you were going on about here later, because I think it was so funny in that person's house. I think it's an old bank.
An old bank. All good, strong guesses. So I think. what it was a museum.
Whoa.
And I think the museum was possibly a museum about Mennonites.
A Mennonite museum?
Wild.
I didn't see it coming.
I remember walking back to my chair and being confused for a moment as to where we were. I think that's what it was. I'm going to go get a charger. Sorry, excuse me, but keep going.
You're fine.
Oh, you're fine. We did it.
I think that was it.
That was it.
I think
we did it, Tyler.
You got everything we got. We did it. And he's broken up anyway. So that.
Oh, no. There he is.
He's here.
What a guy. Well, buddy, thank you so much for hopping on. This was so much fun to be able to say these things to your face.
Oh, good.
Especially
I think now that I've heard this, like, I feel like Tyler could come on for all of his movies and he would take it really well, regardless of our opinion. I think he'd do a really great job.
Like, of course, you can roast me all day. I enjoy all these things. You know? Criticism is a good way to get better at things, one. And then two, you know, it's cathartic. These are thoughts that I have that you guys voice. And again, like, at the other end, it's like me going, hey, did you guys really need a Christmas tree on the right side of your frame? Yeah, we did.
Of course we did.
It's just a choice I had to make.
Choice.
You know what I mean? So
of course, I love it.
Don't ever hesitate to tell me how bad my movies are. Go for it.
I love it. We're going to be back later today with another episode. Two-a-days each day until Thursday. Wow.
Thanksgiving week, man.
This is a 10-episode week.
10-episode week, mm-hmm. Tyler.
So we got to fit them all in.
Yeah.
What gives is because there's so movies.
It's Hallmark tries to kill us with like 11 movies.
Hallmark did 8 movies in 4 days.
Yeah.
And then we're doing one Lifetime, one Netflix. So 10 total.
10 total.
Wow. You guys are savages. Look at you go.
Do something, man.
Just trying to live. You know what I mean, buddy?
Well, let me say, you know, for all the fans, you know, watch the show and appreciate it. Like, you guys do such an incredible job. You're so fun to listen to. I've been getting more into listening to podcasts, specifically Triumvirate podcasts. Have you guys heard the Smartless podcast?
Yeah, it's really funny.
Great podcast, and it's given me appreciation for you guys that I had before, but even more so now. Like, you guys run a tight ship. It's a lot of fun, and we're all grateful for it, man. It gives us an opportunity to have these conversations that I know people really appreciate. So you guys are legends, and don't ever stop being gorgeous.
Well, it's just good to know that you're safe, man. After that last one, we were a lot of people were concerned. So it's
good to know. Thoughts and prayers going out.
Yeah, exactly right.
The next day, legitimately, people on the Facebook group were like,
Did Tyler make it out all right?
It's fine, guys.
It got weird out in the desert. I'm not going to lie. It was a journey. We're grateful to be home.
Are you a better person because
of it?
I'm a better person. I'm a stronger person.
Amen.
And I'm a tired person because of it.
I hear you.
Tyler, we love you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, I guess. And then until then, maybe we'll be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Later, guys.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.